Discovering your destiny. Discovering your destiny. How many want to discover the destiny that God has for your life? Anybody here? Let's say, Pastor, that's me. I want to walk in the destiny. Say, not just in my dream, but I want to walk in the destiny that God has for my life today. Well, today we're going to be concluding the series as we have spent the last 8 weeks talking about this subject, about how to discover the destiny that has for our life. We've been studying Joseph's life and looking at all the things that he had to go through from the time that God gave him his first dream to the point where God actually fulfilled that dream and he began to walk in the destiny of his life, and how that dream was so much different than his destiny. He thought his dream was for his family to bow down to him, but really his destiny was for him to rule a nation and to help save a generation from starvation during a famine. That's what God had raised him up for. And so God had to allow him to go through a series of events. We're calling them tests. We can call them challenges. But they had to continually come over certain things in his life to get him ready for the destiny that God had for his life. We see, well, he got thrown in the pit by his brothers, sold into slavery. Lied upon his father, saying, hey, your son was killed. And, of course, they took his coat and dipped it in blood and lied to the father, sold him off as a slave. And there he worked his way up as a prison, in the palace, as a servant, as a head servant, a Potiphar's house. And there he was falsely accused of trying to seduce Potiphar's wife. And so he's thrown in prison and kept there for 7 more years. And he worked his way up into the prison guards. And eventually, remember when he interpreted the dreams, and he went to interpret the dreams, and he was elevated in one day from the prison to the palace. And he went from the prison to the palace to second in command over all the nation in one day. Woke up in prison. The next day, he wakes up in the palace. I mean, our God's good, man. When God has a destiny for your life, no one can stop that. Let me say that again. When God's got a destiny for your life, no one can stop God's destiny for your life. Today, I want to talk to you about a question that I get asked quite a bit. It's one of those top questions, I think, as pastors that people want to know. How do you know your purpose? How do you know your purpose? How do you know the destiny that God has for your life? We're going to look at it today. And last week, we talked about this briefly as we were in the altars, and I shared with you briefly that Joseph had to walk in forgiveness. Remember that? One of the last tests he had to go through was he had to walk in forgiveness. And as he forgave his brothers and his family for betraying him, he said, what you meant for evil, God meant for good. And he had turned that whole thing around. And when they came to him, they didn't even ask for forgiveness. They tried to manipulate him and tell him, your dad has died, but his dying wish was that you would forgive us. Well, their dad didn't even know he was alive. I mean, they lied to him. And so they would come just hoping that he wouldn't kill him. He'd have mercy on him. But he looks at him not with revenge, but he looks at him with forgiveness. And we see that this didn't just happen the first day they showed up. That this had to be something that was going on in Joseph's life for a period of years. That he learned to work through forgiving his family, forgiving those who had lied on him, forgiving those who had done him wrong. And in that, God was able to elevate him to the place where he needed to be. Because God could never elevate him to a place of power if all he had in mind was revenge. Because then he would have used his revenge, his power, for the wrong thing. But the point that was able to say, God, I forgive my family. I forgive those who had done me wrong. And follow after what God wanted to do in his life. Then God could use him and elevate him to the place of his destiny where he could be most effective in his life. We're going to pick it up today. In Genesis chapter 45, let's read verses 3 through 8. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. This is where Joseph's first encounter him for the first time. They're coming back to him. They'd already said, hey, Dad wants you to forgive us, and this is the whole story. It says, and Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? He's asking. Is Dad still alive? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. And then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold to Egypt. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Look what it says here. For God sent me before you to preserve your life. Isn't that amazing? Look, let's pick it back up. For those 2 years, the famine has been in this land. And there are still 5 years in which there will be neither a plowing nor a harvesting. Look what he says again. And God sent me before you to preserve posterity for you in the earth, and to save your lives for a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me. Look what he says. It was not you who sent me, but who was it sent me? But God. He has made me father of Pharaoh and the Lord of his house and the ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph is finally realizing here, we see the way he's communicating, that he had a greater purpose in life. Joseph is coming to realize that, yes, you did me wrong, but don't worry about it, because what you did wrong was not, it's okay, because God had a greater destiny for my life. My destiny was not to end up and stay in a pit. My destiny was not to end up and stay in a palace, but God is the one who destined that I save this generation during the famine. It was God who destined for him to be in the palace, and he knew it. You notice what he said. He didn't say, well, you thought you was going to get rid of me, but let me tell you this. I worked really hard, and look at what I did with myself. Look at the promotion I got. You tore my coat up that Dad gave me, but look at the new coat I got now. I got all kinds of coats. Nah, 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 nah. I mean, come on, brother. You talked down to me. I was the youngest brother all my life. And, man, he would have been all like this saying, look what God did. Huh? I mean, don't you hate sibling rivalries? I mean, come on. And if that had been you and I, that's exactly what we would have done. Who's the big shot now? Yeah, you know, we would have told our brothers exactly how we felt. But we see a maturity in his life, and it was not of gloating, saying, I'm the one who got here because of my skill set, because of my hard work, because I didn't give up in life. I'm here, and look at me now. No, he says, it is God who destined for me. It is God who sent me. It is God who ordained me. You see the maturity in his life. You see the thing that's happening. He is realizing that God has a purpose in his life. So how do you know God's purpose? Let's answer this question today. First of all, number one, how do you know God's purpose? You got to believe you have a purpose. Simple put, you got to believe you have a purpose in life. Everything God creates has a purpose. Let me say it again. Everything that God creates has a purpose. Let me put it to you in better terms. You're not an accident. You're not an oops. No matter what you was told in your life, no matter what you thought would happen, God has a destiny for your life. And God has a dream that's bigger than your dream. And today God has a destiny and a purpose. And we have to believe that in our heart, that God does have a purpose in my life. Maybe you're here today and someone has spoken down to you all your life and telling you you'll never amount to anything. You would just repeat the same mistakes that other families have made in your life. I'm here to tell you that is a lie. That is a lie straight from hell, because God has already spoken in over your life a purpose and a destiny. And what Satan meant for bad, what Satan meant to destroy your family with, God can turn that around for your good and give you a launching pad to your destiny. You can take the very thing that Satan wanted to cripple you with, and you can reverse that around and help others who've gone through that same thing and pull them out of that fire, pull them out of that pit, pull them out of that prison. God has a destiny for your life and a purpose, and you got to believe that. Ecclesiastes 3:1 makes it very clear. To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. Everything is designed to find our purpose. We were designed to find our purpose in life. Now today I got something here that's been designed for a purpose. Let's see what it is. Oh, man. Anyone recognize what this is today? Okay, yeah. I mean, if you didn't tell me what this was, so I could look at it and say, all right, I guess today we could put it there and we could back up and we could have a ring toss. I mean, it's got a suction cup. It'll stay there nice and easy. Good. Or if I didn't know what it was, I could plant it in my yard, and it could become a hummingbird bath right there in the back of my yard. Or it's a nice, clean cup to drink out of. I don't know what you're thinking. Right? Okay. This is brand new. Well, believe me, I'd not be touching it if it wasn't brand new from Walmart. But maybe some of you guys who are losing some of your hair, you could think about, you know, it could... Nice hat. I mean, if I didn't know what this was, I could say it could do a lot of different things, couldn't it? But how many know when, as soon as I pulled this out, there was no doubt in your mind what this was designed for? And we're not going to go into that. But you know, this thing was designed with a purpose, wasn't it? You see, you and I, we were designed with a purpose. And we can look at it and say, nah. No, God has designed you and I much more complex than this. He's designed you and I with much more detail than this. He's designed you and I with much more creativity than this. He has designed you and I with a destiny and a purpose that he has for our life. Realizing that this, that I have to come into full circle and say, God, I believe that you have a purpose and have designed me for great things in my life. The designer God has a specific purpose in mind when he designed you. Number two, you got to understand that God is in control. Simply put, when you're discovering your purpose, knowing your purpose, your destiny in life, you got to understand that God is in control. We just read it a second ago. Joseph said, hey, when I was in the prison, it's okay because God was in control. You thought you put me in the pit, but it's okay because God was in control. You thought you was bringing me down, but it's okay. God was in control. In his mind, he was saying, you know, Potiphar's wife has lied to me, but that's okay because God was in control. The baker, he forgot about me, but God was in control. That's what he's saying. God was in control of my life, and even though it seemed very dark at times, it was okay because he believed that God was in control of his life. That's what allowed him to walk in the middle of the prison, as we talked about a few weeks ago, and get up and walk in and see a couple of guys, a baker and a butler, sitting there kind of down in their face. And he walked in the prison and said, hey, what's wrong? Why are you frowning? You know, I mean, I think that's kind of an oxymoron when you really think about it. Who would walk in a prison and say, hey, dude, why are you so sad? I'm in prison! And prison back then, there was no regulation, state regulations, okay? Telling you how you had to have so many meals a day and all this other stuff. And it was different. And so they're in prison. He walks in and says, why are you so down? What's wrong? And they begin to tell them the problem. And, of course, he interprets the dream. And even though it took 2 years later, ultimately that's what got him out of the prison, was that he was willing to be attentive. And he walked in with an upbeat spirit. He walked in, even though he was down, even though he was being lied about, he walked in and he knew that God was in control of his life. You see, when I'm facing tough times in my life, even though it looks very bleak, even though it feels like I do not know what the answer is going, when it's going to come, but I do know this, that God is in control of my life. And I have a purpose. I'm called by his purpose. I'm called as a child of God. And he has got a destiny for my life. And my destiny may be for me to walk through the prison time right now. My destiny may be for me to walk through the pit right now. But it's going to come a time when God's going to call me out. And he's going to say, hey, son, daughter, come forth. This is as he spoke to Lazarus. He spoke to the dry bones. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Those things which are dead in our life, come alive again. And even though they stink at times, that God wants to speak to your life. He wants to speak to the purpose in your heart and say, I have not forgotten you. Many of you had dreams as a child. You had dreams as a youth to do things for God and to make a difference in society and to see God use you in a great way. But you've given up on it. And today I'm here to tell you, don't give up on what God has spoken to you. What he speaks in the night, he will reveal in the light. What he forms during the nighttime. Come on, tell me. How many remember when they had film? How many remember when you used to have to have, you know, how many remember express photos, getting photos, you know, I forgot how to say it now. We haven't done it so long. When you get your photos, you know, you ever take them and drop them off? Get them developed. Would you take them and get them dropped off? It's been a long time. I remember you paid extra just to get them back within 3 days. You know you owe if you remember Express Photo was 3 days, okay? You could drop them off, and 3 days later, they'd be back. Woo! How was that photo developed? In the dark. It takes a complete darkness to develop that picture, and many times it's through the darkest time that God is developing his purpose in our life. It's through the darkest hour that God is developing, and we got to realize, God, you are in control of my life. Let me say this again to you. No one, Let me repeat that. No one can stop you from the destiny but you. That's it. Plain and simple. Nobody can stop you from God's purpose in your life. Nobody can stop you from the destiny in your life except for you. You got to stop letting something that happened to you in your childhood stop you from your destiny. You got to stop letting what an ex did to you stop you from your destiny. You got to stop letting what an employer did to you stop you from your destiny. Because ultimately, nobody can stop you except for you. When you choose to fight, when you choose to give up, you are stopping yourself. But when I choose to say, God, you're in control, even through my darkest hour, I'm still walking toward the destiny that God has for my life. Romans 8:28, look what it says. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God. And to those who are what? Called according to his purpose. It's just not loving God, but you got to realize that God has a purpose. I'm called to the purpose in God. And when I do that, all things ultimately work out for the good. Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11 says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but the water of the earth, and to make it bring forth a bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and I shall prosper. It shall prosper the thing for which I have sent it. When God has put a word in your heart, it will prosper. It will come to fruition in your life when you say, God, you are in control. But how does that happen? First of all, I've got to pass the test in my life. I will never walk in the destiny when I continue to fall with pride. I'll never walk in my destiny when I continue to be a sloppy worker and not giving God my best. I'll continue to fall when I can't control the power that God's given my life. I'll continue to fall when I go through the prison time and give up. I'll continue never to reach it when I can't forgive people who have done me wrong. You want to walk in your destiny, then pass the test that God's put before you now. How many has ever failed these tests in your life? I have. Have you? Yeah. Let me tell you some exciting news. This is the great thing about our God. This is the great thing about taking a test with our God. Because when you flunk it, you get to take it again. And really, you think about it, that's kind of a thing. You think, oh, great. Thanks, Pastor. That's really encouraging. But when you think about it, it really is, because God loves you so much that he'll allow you to take the same test over and over and over and over again until you pass it. That's grace and mercy. Because eventually you got to think, you know what? I'm kind of learning the answers here. I'm learning what I'm doing wrong. I'm learning what it's going to take to pass this test. And the only thing I got to do to pass this test is not give up. Because eventually, I'm going to learn how to master this. Eventually, I'm going to learn to forgive. Eventually, I'm going to learn that my pride is going to bring me to fall. And eventually, I've got to learn that if I don't give God complete glory in my life, he always brings me and humbles me down. Eventually, I learn if I don't walk around with forgiveness, I'm going to walk around an old, bitter person, hardened of heart, with nothing to give in my life. We learn these lessons, so God loves us so much that he lets us take it time and time again to help us pass these tests. That's the awesome thing about our God. Number three, discover your gift and your direction. You got to discover your gift and your direction. God has given us the body of Christ, all the different kinds of gifts. He talks about we are the body of Christ. Some of us are the different body parts, and we won't say which one you are today. But all of us today have different body parts that we're given. And we realize that we must function together as one to make the gift that God has given you. Let me read you what Romans 12:4 says. These gifts that is listed here is talking about, we talk about it in the body of Christ. We've called them the motivational gifts. The motivational gifts. Look what it says. As for as many, we have many members in one body, but all members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. Let us use them. If prophecy, let us use prophecy in proportion to our faith. If it's ministry, let us use it in our ministry. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives in liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. And I want to give it to you in a more clear, defining way so you can realize, hey, where do I fit? I believe everybody in this room will fall under these seven gifts that are given right here. As I say this out, you're going to realize, yeah, that's me. Some of you will have more than one gift. Some of you will have a lot of these gifts. Some of you will function in one. Some will function in multiple gifts here. But every one of us have these gifts, and ultimately these gifts will lead us to finding our purpose when we operate in the gifts God's called us to. We call them the motivational gifts, so let me give them to you. Number one, the prophetic. We call these the motivator. The motivator. The desire to motivate people to serve God. That's what the prophet does. He hears from God, and his desire is he wants people to serve God. And so he's driven, or she's driven, to a point where they want to help motivate people to serve God in a deeper level in their life. We have the servant. We call this ministry, the servant part. A desire to meet needs of people on a practical basis. The servant desires to meet people's needs on a practical basis. We have the teachers. Those who walk in the teaching gift, they desire to study and to present truths to people. You're the ones who send me emails every week asking me these deep questions. And your thought, Pastor, I'm starting the book of Revelation this week. Can you please give me insight and tell? I don't know. You tell me. You know, I'm just playing around a little bit. Really, we would get these things. You know, people who love to study and love to share revelation. You love to teach. You have the call of teaching on your life. The exhorters, those who encourage, desire to admonish and encourage people. If you're an exhorter today, you're an encourager. You desire to admonish, and you want to just encourage people. How many love being around people who are encouragers? Don't you love that? Some of you have the great gifts. I know people like that. Anytime I'm around them, they're just so encouraging, and I love to be around them versus people who are so negative. You know what I'm talking about? You get around some people, man, they're just like, ugh. You know, you come out of that thing thinking, man, I just picked up about 50 pounds out of that meeting. I just felt so heavy. But other people, you come out of a meeting with them or just a few minutes running into them at the Walmart or somewhere, and you leave with a smile on your face, feeling better about yourself. Some people have a gift, have a natural gift of encouragement. That's a great gift. Be an encourager. Gift of giving, givers. These people desire to meet needs of people on a financial basis. God has blessed them, and they want to be a blessing to other people. They want to help fund the kingdom of God to a different level. They want to help give to people's lives and help them understand. Listen, and it's just not just giving people. The giver doesn't just want to give to people, but they want to give and help them understand how they can get more. Givers have the gift of saying, you know what? You'll never get anywhere in life until you learn to pay your tithe and your offering and be faithful. And God has blessed me because of this, and I'm going to bless you, but let's get on the right track right here. See, givers have that gift. They'll tell you, man. They'll tell you straight up. You ain't going to get anywhere in your destiny until you learn to serve God in this small test right here of giving our tithe and offering. They'll tell you straight up. People who are in leadership, who leads, it's the administrator. These people are administrators. They desire to lead people through organization. They are the great organizers. But we need these people, don't we? They're the administrators. They get things done. They put a leg to what the vision is. They put a leg to your ideas. They help administrate it and make it happen to an organization. And the last one is the mercy gift, the sympathizer. They desire to identify and to empathize with people. See, every one of these gifts here today, someone today, you fall in the category of one of these gifts. Every one of us had these gifts, and it's so awesome. If you've ever been in a place where you see these gifts all around a table at the same time, I mean, we see this happen a lot. It's just, for instance, if we were at a small group, and around that small group, someone mentioned, hey, so-and-so's house, did you hear so-and-so's house just burned down? What would happen? First of all, the motivator. He would say, hey, we got to go talk to these people. We got to let them know. If they would just serve God a little bit more, man, they get some of that sin out of their life. Maybe God wouldn't put them through this. They would come through automatically. Decide, you know, we got to motivate these people to serve God a little deeper. Get deeper in their walk with God. The servant would be like, where's the servant at? He's already out the door. He's out trying to help them move out of the house. Make sure the fire's already out. Move. We got trucks coming. We're going to help get this thing going. We're going to meet the needs of these people. Let's find a place to stay. The teacher is going to come out and say, well, let's first of all think about it. Did they have the fire alarm set up in the right place? Was the fire extinguisher put in the right place? Did we have detectors put out? Was there a plan of escape? Could they prevent this fire? What can we do to prevent this fire in the future? As you rebuild this house, you can build a little bit more fireproof. Don't leave your candle. I mean, all these things. A teacher will come in right away. The encourager, they've already been on the phone texting, saying, are you okay? Man, it's going to be okay. It's all right. The encourager's going to tell you, it's okay. God's got a better house for you already lined up. You're like, shut up, man. Smoke's still coming. The encourager's going to tell you, it's all right. God's got a better house for you. It's going to be okay. The giver has already said, all right, I think we should take up an offering right now to help him get started. I got the first $1,000 right now. Who else is going to join me? I mean, a giver is going to kick in. The administrator is going to have all this lined out already. Well, I got a plan lined up already, Pastor. If we get this group over here to donate this, and this group donate that, and I can see this here, we can have a group coming in. We can build them a house. We can do this and that. The administrator is going to have it all laid out. And the sympathizer, they're going to be in the corner crying because they're so upset. God help them. I know what they're going through. I feel their pain. I feel your pain. You know, they know right there. They feel your pain. So the question is not, do you have a gift? The question is, what gift do you have? And when you have that gift, you got to learn to operate in that gift. Learn to step forward in that gift. How boring would it be if we all had the same gift? Nothing would get done. If we all had the same gift in here, nothing would get done. But because we're different, we need each other. And God has designed it that way. Because he doesn't want me to get the big head, to think I'm a pastor, I can do it all by myself. He knows that I depend on you as much as you depend on me. And he knows that we can't get it done unless we work together. Why is that? Because he doesn't want one person to get the glory except for himself. And when we do it this way, this brings God glory. Listen, when you walk in your destiny, start using the gifts that God's given you now. I've heard too many people say this, Pastor, once I figure out what my purpose in life, then I'll use my gift. And I say, no, you won't. Because how you find your purpose is by using your gift now. If you have this gift, begin to use it now where you're at. It may not be the place where you're going to be forever, but as you use that gift now where you're at, that will lead you and develop you into the place that ultimately God has for you as your destiny. Start using it now, and you will find your purpose. See if you can name this leader. At the age of 22, he failed in business. At the age of 23, he was defeated for the legislator. At the age of 24, he failed in business again. At the age of 26, his wife died. At the age of 27, he had a nervous breakdown. At the age of 29, he was defeated for Speaker of the House. At the age of 31, he was defeated for the elector. At the age of 34, he was defeated for Congress. At the age of 39, he was defeated for Congress again. At the age of 46, he was defeated for Senate. At the age of 47, he was defeated for Vice President. At the age of 49, he was defeated for the Senate again. And at the age of 51, he was elected as President of the United States. What was his name? Abraham Lincoln. You see, when you have a purpose in your life, you don't give up. Just because you've been defeated, just because you had things that happen in your life that don't seem fair, just because you have things that happen and everybody else counts you out, God never counts you out. I mean, just think if Abraham Lincoln had not been in the place where he was at the time of our country, one of the greatest presidents to ever lead this country through the Civil War period, and help abolish one of the greatest tragedies in the history of America, putting things back on the right track that we need to, equality. But he didn't give up. He didn't give up, did he? He continued to pursue. He knew what his purpose was. He pursued after his purpose. He knew God had a greater call for his life, and he didn't give up. He's a man who kept walking and working toward his gifts. He didn't quit just because he had a setback. Do you quit just because you have a setback? Do you quit just because you were told no? Do you quit just because you lost that job? Do you quit just because you had that person do you wrong? Do you quit just because you don't see the answer coming that you want? Do you quit? Or do you say, God, you have a purpose for my life. I'm not going to give up. I'm going to begin to walk now where I'm at today in the gifting you've given to me. And the last point today is determine your direction and be faithful. Determine your direction and be faithful. So the question is, can I know my purpose? The answer is yes. When will I know my purpose? When you do it. I tell you what, this is the most practical message about all these messages we've preached. It's the most practical thing, but it's so true. Can I know my purpose in life? Yes, you can. When will you know it? When you do it. What do you mean, Pastor? It simply means, well, when you begin to do something for God, when you begin to do something where you're at today, ultimately that will lead you using your gifts, and that gifts will lead you to flowing in the purpose that God has for your life. I'm going to ask magicians to come. I'm going to give you one last story as they're coming. I want to read you the last insert of John Wesley's diary. John Wesley had a diary that was made public, and he went through a five-week period that was pretty bad in his life, and I'd like to read it with you. This is straight out of his diary. It says, on Sunday morning, May 5th, I preached in St. Anne, and I was asked not to come back. Sunday night, May 5th, I preached in St. John's, and the deacon said, get out of here and stay out. Sunday morning, May 12th, I preached at St. Jude. Can't go back there either. Sunday morning, May 19th, preached at St. Somebody Else. That's what he put on there. St. Somebody Else. Same story, same thing. St. Somebody Else. Deacons called a special meeting, said I could never return. Sunday night, May 19th, I preached on the street, was kicked off the street. Sunday morning, May 26th, preached in the meadow, chased out of the meadow because the bull was let loose. He's not having a good week, is he? Good month. Sunday morning, June 2nd, preached at the edge of town. See how he's going further and further out. Preached at the edge of town, kicked off the highway. Sunday night, June 2nd, preached in the pasture. 10,000 people showed up to hear me speak. Do you give up, or are you going to walk in the purpose that God has for your life? Are you going to give up, or are you going to walk in the destiny that God has for your life? Today, I want you to bow your heads for real quickly here for a few minutes. I want to ask everybody here who's not looking around, I'm going to ask this question. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I want to make sure today that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. I want to make sure today that heaven's my home. I want to make sure today that before I leave here, I have a chance to accept Jesus Christ. If you're here today, no one's looking around but me, but I want to ask you this question. You say, I'm ready to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I would not embarrass you at all, but can you raise your hand and say, Pastor, it's me. I'm ready to ask Jesus Christ into my life today. I want to make sure today I'm right with God. Can you raise it high? I can see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join this person today since I'm ready? I'm ready today to make a decision to follow after Christ. Raise your hand quickly where you're at today. That's me, Pastor. I'm ready to follow after Christ. One more time. About you, can you raise your hand? I want to see it. Thank you. Anybody else want to join them today? Raise it now. Don't you wait. About you, just say, I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you. We're going to say this prayer together, but I'm going to pray for you. We're going to repeat this prayer, especially those who raised your hands, but we're all going to say it with you. Let's say, dear Jesus, forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. I ask today that you come into my heart. I give you everything I am. In Jesus' name. From this day forward, I will live for you. I believe you are the Messiah. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you meant to say, welcome to the family of God. Yeah. Before you leave today, if you raised your hand, stop by our information booth in the back and grab a free Bible, a packet that tells you what to do next. It's very, very important that you stop and get that and get the information in your hand. Today, how many want to walk in the destiny that God has for your life? Anybody here? I'm going to invite you to stand on your feet this morning. If you're here today, say, Pastor, I believe God's calling me to walk in my destiny. I'm ready to walk and follow after God. I'm going to invite you. We're going to close up the series. I'm going to invite you to come to the front and stand. Join me up here as we sing this last song. Say, Pastor, I'm ready today. Say, God, I'm giving you my whole life. God, I'm giving you everything I am. God, I'm ready to walk in the destiny that you have for my life. That's you today. come to the front right now and join me in the front right now. So we're going to pray this. And God's going to let you walk in the destiny that God has for your life. Come on, scoot on in. Yeah, scoot on in. Ready to walk in the destiny that God has for your life. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't want to be the same. I don't want to be the same. I'm saying, God, I want you to take me to a deeper level in you. God, I'm ready to give you everything in my life. God, I'm ready to abandon my dreams for your dreams. God, I want you to use me. I want to walk, fulfill the destiny you have for my life. Some of you need to kind of scoot this way just a little bit down the back there to help out those guys. Thank you, guys, for squeezing in. We're going to sing this song through. And as we do, I want you just to say, God, I'm giving my whole life. And we are going forward. How many know we're going forward? Amen? Come on, let's sing it.
Surrender my life to Christ.
I believe here today, as I'm praying, I believe here today there's people here in this room that God has given you dreams and vision for ministry at an early age. And you said, just listen to me. I'm speaking to some several people here. You said, just because I can't see myself being a pastor, that's not me. But just because I can't see myself doing that, that's not me. And today you're realizing that there's a whole bunch of gifts that God wants to use in this room right here. So it's all full-time ministry. See, because when you give your purpose to God, you say, God, ministry is what I'm about. I minister at work. I minister at home. I minister at school. I minister at church. I minister in my neighborhood. I minister. See, we're all called to ministry. We're all called to use the gifts that God has given us. And today, some of you here, God is restoring back to you dreams for a destiny that you have for your life. Some of you have been running from that for a long time. You've been afraid of what that looks like. But today, God is saying, I am renewing that in your life. I'm bringing a special anointing back to your life. I'm bringing back fresh dreams, a fresh destiny, a fresh perspective, a purpose. And today, God is going to bring that fresh and anew in your life. And you're saying yes. If that's you today, just raise your hand and say, Pastor, that's me. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, God, you see right here. God, you see right here, God. We cast aside every fear. We cast aside every fear. And God, we speak forth, God, boldness. We speak forth freedom. We speak forth a new destiny, a new purpose. And God, you are calling us out. God, you're calling us out. And Lord, we're seeing ministry in a different way. It's not something to be afraid of, but God, it's something we want to embrace. We're embracing your call. We're embracing our gifts. We're embracing the destiny and purpose you have for our life. And God, no longer are we going to be held captive by fear, be held captive by what people think. But God, we're set free. We're set free. Lord, today we thank you, Lord, that you are renewing in us a new purpose. You're renewing in us dreams. And God, you're allowing those things to come out in the name of Jesus Christ. We say amen. Come on. Give God praise. It's such a privilege to be your pastor. I'm so excited about what God's doing in your life, your family, your children. I believe the best is still yet to come. How many believe that today, man? God bless. Today, thank you so much for being here. Turn to four or five people around you. Shake their hand. Give them a high five. You can hug your neck if you want. Say, man, it was good to be in church with you today.